Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Let's roll across the country 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern and 12 to 3 Pacific. As we set up shop inside our Quicken Loans studios, as always, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. On this Wednesday before the U.S. Open, the 118th U.S. Open, we'll see what Tiger Woods and Phil and DJ and Bubba and Rory and Jordan and the rest of the boys have.
Give me your way too early Wednesday favorite. I know you're off of Tiger Woods, right? Yeah, don't even go Tiger Woods right now.
I know
you were hot to trot on Tiger at the beginning of the year.
A lot hotter than most, yes. And he has played very well in spurts, but he hasn't won yet.
He's had some hellified rounds, hasn't put it all together yet.
Mm-hmm.
Way too early Wednesday prediction for the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, BT says.
Well, can I give you a little context before we get into Kyrie? A little context before I give you my answer?
Yes, please.
So we had Corey Pavin on the show yesterday.
Yeah, great interview.
He was so good. He really was. I would encourage, you know, even if you were kind of a lukewarm golf fan, but your dad or your uncle or your mom were, I mean, that's a little bit of an older generation when he won in 95 at Shinnecock. When he smashed that forward 220 yards to about 5 feet on 18 to beat Greg Norman. Go to YouTube. Go to tikiandtierney.com. It's awesome. He was really great. Really brought to life vividly just what that round must have felt like. It was an awesome spot. One thing he said helps determine my answer to your question.
Go ahead.
He said the fairways were wider than most U.S. Opens.
I remember that.
Okay.
You're saying DJ?
I'm saying bombers. So as soon as I hear that.
Got to say DJ.
Well, he's certainly in that group.
He just won.
I understand that. But there's other guys. I mean, if a fairway is, say, 12 yards in width and probably a little more than that on a usual U.S. Open and say this one it's like 15 or 16, the damage is not very punitive. You can just tee it up and just smash it, try to smash into orbit. And even if you're in first cut, you know, you can still get home and get on the green of regulation. So I believe that, and I don't love this because it doesn't reward shot making, necessarily.
Yep.
This tournament will be won by a masher. Yeah, so Dustin's on the short list. I'm not a Bubba Watson fan. I don't think he grinds enough to win a U.S. Open. Masters is different.
Yeah, it's all about those shots, hooking shots, going around trees, things like that at the Masters. Open's not that way.
I think Rory's going to play well. I do like Rory coming in. Brooks Koepka has been a little quiet this summer. Mm-hmm. He's been hurt. He was hurt early. I'm going to say Rory or Koepka.
I'm saying Jordan Spieth.
Is he long enough?
Not long. Putting.
But he's not putting that well these days.
But he's going to find it. I believe he's going to find
it. Well, if that happens, then he's got a shot.
On the slick greens of Shinnecock.
Okay, they're running quick, so
I'll change my mind on Thursday.
What if he shoots a 77? Yeah, right. We'll give you a mulligan?
Yeah, we reserve the right to change our mind on Thursday.
Oh, man. I tell you, it's going to be pretty benign conditions. It's going to be dry, which means it's going to be hot, which means it's going to be very fast, which obviously favors putters with a soft touch and obviously guys that can mesh it. So tonight, you know, we had a great contest here before getting to hoops. Great contest on Tiki and Tierney. The Journey Def Leppard. Mm-hmm. 10-day giveaway, 10 different venues all across the country, culminating with a grand prize in San Francisco to see two of my favorite bands. So we're going tonight. I'm pumped.
Dude, you're pumped. You're so much better at this than me.
Because
we do these contests, and BT's the smart one. He says, man, we're giving away tickets, and we're doing it with Live Nation. Go to livenation.com, by the way.
Yep.
Doing it with Live Nation. I'm going to go.
I got my boy Joey Scaleri. I pop right in.
You went to Guns N' Roses
last night. That's right. Fourth row Guns N' Roses. Hopefully tonight it's third row.
And I love Journey, but I don't even think about doing these things. I don't know why I don't. I should.
Well, here's the thing. You know, and listen, let's not be Mr. Humble here. The other day, Tiki's in the newspaper. He's up at Rayow's, which, by the way, he's got about five tables, literally. And he's hanging out with Jay-Z's crew and Saquon Barkley. Yeah. So I've got to be resourceful to get my hookup because things don't drop on my doorstep like they drop on yours.
I just hang out with my neighbor, Ron Berkowitz.
And Berkowitz invites you. I got to get my hustle on to make things happen.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, so you know, let's get to this. Listen, the free agency is going to be awesome. Who knows what's going to happen? You and I spent a lot of time on LeBron, trying to read the tea leaves, trying to give at least an initial flavor as to what we expect over the next couple of weeks here as free agency heats up. Kyrie Irving's not a free agent,
no.
And we know that. But we do. I want to play something for you. And then I want to incorporate him in the big picture of the NBA, which seems to be whether you think Anthony Davis could be on the move, whether you think eventually Klay and Draymond could be on the move, whether you think Kawhi Leonard will not resolve that situation with the Spurs and he might be on the move. There's a lot of moving parts. Paul George, there's a lot of stuff happening. Listen to Kyrie, and then I want to throw something by you. Here's Kyrie Irving.
You are eligible for an extension this summer. I'm just wondering, does your injury change at all how you look at that, even though you have to put some money on the table?
No. No, contractually or financially, just wouldn't make any sense. I'm pretty sure management and I will have a talk, but that talk won't happen now.
Kyrie, if you go into next year and you're on a one-year deal, essentially, do you think that'll affect the team or you adversely at all?
For me, I think it's unfair in terms of putting responsibility and also putting that communication with other guys. I don't think it'll necessarily have an effect. I'm doing my best to kind of deflect all that and focus on what's in front of us.
All right, I want to give you a bit of an unconventional thought here. When I look at the big picture of available players, either this year, we know the free agents, or obviously next year with Kyrie Irving and a few others too.
Yeah.
I believe that Kyrie Irving is in the most desirable position, the most envious position
of everybody.
Of anybody.
I agree with
Can
you.
Can I tell you why? I don't know if we, well, you tell me, yeah. if you oh. agree, you tell me why
well,
you think that.
Well, because he's in a win-win situation right now. He's making a ton of money right now.
Sure.
I mean, it's relative.
It's almost less about the money for
yeah, agree.
With this stuff.
But, and the reason he says that this is a no, there's no way he's doing an extension is because if he does an extension after this season, or during the season, he's only going to get $104 million.
4 years, 107.
Yeah, 107, 107, yep. That's right. But if he waits, he can get a max, which is about $80 million more.
Bingo, so, bingo. I mean, $80 million more.
Do the math.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yes,
he has a chance now because there's doubts in his mind, or doubts in other people's minds about, man, can this kid stay healthy? He's just had issues all season long, mm-hmm. and really going back to a couple years ago, all stemming from that knee kneecap break or fracture, whatever the heck it was that he had, that had to get he had to get another surgery on. He gets a chance on a unbelievably talented team next season to be the guy and be the man. And if he helps take them right back to where they are, he becomes even more valuable in free agency. So I think he's in an enviable position because he doesn't have to sign because it doesn't make economic sense.
Yep.
And he needs to play great, and he has a great team around him to do so. And I think going into last year,
yep.
we didn't know that, right? Meaning last season, we didn't know where Jason Tatum was going to be.
No.
We didn't know what Jaylen Brown was going to be.
No.
I mean, hell, they sent Avery Bradley away, who's one of their dogs last year. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, what's going to happen to the Celtics? They were fantastic. And so I think he's in a great position for himself, but he has to stay healthy.
Gotta stay healthy, paramount. That certainly goes without saying. He's a young man, very young. Was he 25?
Five, yeah.
He's a young man at this point. Don't get me wrong. I would be a little reticent to give him next summer what in essence is almost $190 million.
Yeah. But, I mean, the cap keeps going up. You know what I mean?
I know, but if your knee is not right for a player who's built on burst and speed and change of direction.
He just turned 26, by the way.
All right, so he's 26. But here's even a more detailed view as to why I think that he's sitting shotgun in the Millennium Falcon right now. He can sit back at age 26 and money's going to take care of itself. Yeah. And he can look at it. He can say, okay, let me see. Where's LeBron going? He's going over to the Lakers. All right, Paul George going with him. Yeah,
that's a good point.
All right, what's CP3 doing? Yeah. He's hanging with the Rockets. Yeah, can extend there. You have Capella's leaving.
They're all getting old.
All right, let's see. 76ers. Is Embiid going to stay healthy for 70-plus games? All right, does Simmons have a jump shot? Let me see what's happening over here with OKC. Let me see what's going on with the Raptors. He could just sit there. Ball out with a great team, which obviously is what you hit on,
yep.
knowing you have a monster payday coming, and then when really this new recalibration, and it will be a big one this summer, of the NBA family, the upper structure of NBA royalty, he could then parachute in next season and trump everybody at the age of 26.
Yeah, no, you're
going
right.
on 27.
No, you don't think about it. I mean, we do think about it because LeBron has always done these one-year deals and went with an opt-out the next year. And so, we knew he was going to stay in Cleveland in previous years. But when LeBron is at this point where he's going to move, he's going somewhere else, the rest of the league sits still.
No right? question.
You're beholden all the other free agents. I mean, it sucks for them, right? Before the finals was over, you're getting leaked reports from whoever it was from. I think it was either Windhorst or Woj talking about LeBron James has got to talk to Paul George. I mean, if you're Paul George, you're beholden to LeBron James.
Got
to
wait to see what's happening.
Right now,
sure.
Right? All those guys right now have to sit and wait on LeBron.
Not to mention the teams.
I agree.
Not just the players.
So they can't. I mean, how can you get your house in order, right? Knowing that this is my wish list, LeBron.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
And then maybe you got, I mean, number two on that wish list is significantly less than LeBron. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And as soon as you find out it's not you, the consolation sucks.
Well, this is the stuff. I know. Trust me, I'm with you. This is the stuff that the average fan, and I get it, trust me, because at my core, I'm the average fan. Yeah. I always will be. But the average fan doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Like, the average fan doesn't want to hear about how somebody with $47 million in the bank on a low-end conservative guess or guesstimate suddenly has to wait 2 months where they don't know if they're going to have to, you know, move homes or switch schools for their kids. But there are so many dynamics that go into this. I don't care how much money you have.
Yeah.
There are things that, you know, the family dynamic, to use that word again, it's, you know, it's heavy. If you don't know where, it's unsettling. Mm-hmm. If, you know, your wife asks you, your kids are happy, you want some resolution. And as the sole or as the main provider for the family, if you can't come up with an answer, it's hard, especially for all these guys who are primarily alpha personalities.
Right.
So everybody's waiting on LeBron. But, you know, I still think I look at Kyrie. He's got an ace under the table because once LeBron does whatever he does, and if you missed yesterday's show, I'll briefly reset. I think he's going to the Lakers. I think what did I put? Lakers 1, Philly 2, yep. Rockets 3. Those are my top three. I think for sure he's leaving Cleveland unless they hatch this elaborate plan where they can somehow, and I don't think that they could do it because logistically that just the weight of the contracts that they have.
Other teams would have to help them.
Yeah, and you'd have to get rid of, if you wanted to bring like CP3 and Paul George to Cleveland, you'd have to find a way to reroute Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. And to me, there's too many dominoes there. Mm-hmm. But outside of a scenario where he gets two elite players to join him in Cleveland, he's leaving.
Yeah,
he's bouncing.
Agreed.
And the rest of the NBA has got to wait and see what happens with him. But Kyrie Irving, because listen, it has every move LeBron's made has worked out. But there's no guarantee that the next move works out.
No, you're right.
So now Kyrie can sit back and say, all right, LeBron, you're 33, you know, 900 gazillion minutes you've played so far, total. You're a beast. Now let me reassess on my time, on my terms. And now let me be the one who might tilt the needle in a different direction for the next three, four years.
Here's the other X factor in this conversation, because Samter positions this on our rundown. We do this every day. We get a rundown. We ask some questions. This is going to lead our conversation. The question is, is this selfish for Kyrie? And I don't think it is, because obviously
– how would it be selfish?
Agreed. It's not, because not only is Boston not sure – that Kyrie's their future.
Because of his health.
Because of his health.
Yep.
And how unbelievable everybody else played in his absence, right? But Kyrie also is now trying to figure out if this is the perfect situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, and this is the other part of it, we know he wants to play for a smart, innovative, thoughtful coach like Brad Stevens. So if he's going to go someplace else, he's got to find that also. He's not going to go play for, you know, someone who doesn't challenge him intellectually.
No.
And so that might limit where he's going to go. So there's a lot of X factors in here, and we talk about Kyrie Irving. So he needs another season, like to your point, to figure out that at the very least. Mm-hmm. Am I staying here because I love Brad? They're going to give me $180-something million, and, you know, our future rolls together. And if it's not that, where else am I going to find what I need? You know, and so he's in a great position. Because he doesn't have to do it right now.
He's a wild card.
Yeah.
All right, let's get some calls on this. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Also, you want to chime in from stuff from yesterday with LeBron and all the other conversation. But Kyrie Irving, to me, and obviously Tiki, he's so intriguing now because there's an element of unknown with the knee injury.
Yeah.
You know, he's been derailed a few times physically. He's an amazing, prodigious talent when he's right. Otherwise, LeBron would have no rings in Cleveland because he's the one who stuck the three ball to ice it. So, but you know, he's not. It's not a lock that he is physically viable. Without any, I mean, nobody is a guarantee to play 82 games every year, but I mean, this could flare up in a year or so. And, you know, if he is the linchpin, and if he's the main cog in your rebuild here, and he derails immediately, you got a problem.
Yeah.
So anything involving Kyrie Irving's got to be well thought out. And I do believe the thought and the way he's perceived, I think it's quite varied around the country.
Yeah.
Curious what our fans say.
Me too.
Let's hit the phones. 855-212-4227. Taking a tier to show inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Also, we'll do a little something in the NFL later. Poll came out. Aaron Rodgers, the best Packer ever. I mean, recency bias, or is he really, truly the best Packer ever? We got a lot to hit. Jimmy Jackson from Fox Sports, NBA analyst. Also, the U.S., we, along with others, land North America, land the 2026 World Cup. I'm going to craft the conversation, and you know I'll resist this on some level. As soccer moves up the ladder, is it slowly pushing baseball aside and others? Where's soccer in the pecking order? We'll get to it all. Tiki and Tierney, get the phones coming up, 855-212-4227. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back. A lot of intrigue, as you would imagine, with the NBA already as we roll into the early part of the free agent frenzy here. And Mr. Andrew Bogut chiming in. How about this tweet, Tiki? You see this?
Yeah, I
just
did.
Pretend you didn't see it.
I didn't see it. Tell me, BT.
It's
what
very
did I
interesting,
see? What
Tiki.
Did I miss?
Very interesting. Very
what
interesting.
Did I miss, sir?
He tweeted out, this was a good one from Andrew Bogut, former first overall pick in the draft by the Bucks back in the day. Have the popcorn ready for this offseason, NBA free agent drama. Don't be fooled. Most big deals are already done verbally. Mm. More super teams are cometh.
Tampering. But player-on-player tampering doesn't count.
I know.
It doesn't count. Which brings up the question, BC.
Yes.
The super teams.
Yeah.
Currently, there's one, right? We agree. There's one super team.
There's one super team.
The Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one team that can compete with them,
mm-hmm.
right? The Houston Rockets.
But there could be organic super teams. So I don't want to cut you off, but I want to make sure I understand
Because
the Sixers are going to blossom into a super team naturally.
Yes, I agree
and
with
so
you.
With the Celtics.
But right now, let's just look at last season.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Right, last season, there was one super team, mm-hmm. the Golden State Warriors.
And maybe the Rockets, bringing in CP3.
And one team that competed with them. That's the Rockets. So mm-hmm. they're right there with the super team, but they didn't have the third, mm-hmm. really. So you can't really say it's like a super team. Would it be better, because Samter was mentioning this, and now I'm bringing it to the air. Would it be better to have the system that we had, where it's a foregone conclusion almost, the mm-hmm. Golden State Warriors are going to win. Maybe someone will test them like the Rockets, but they're going to win, get to the finals, and sweep wherever they came out of the East.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to have four super teams? Now, it sucks for everybody else, right? But at least you have four teams, and it's not a foregone conclusion. So Andrew Bogut saying there's going to be more super teams, get your popcorn ready. Isn't that more enticing than what we currently have?
Well, yes, I think on the surface, because there's just far more intrigue because there's uncertainty.
Yes.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, if you have four teams, and now are they equally dispersed? I mean, do you have two in the East, two in the West? Do you have three in the East, one in the West?
I think you would have to. And I said yesterday, because you mentioned your teams where you thought LeBron was going, I think Philly, Los Angeles, and maybe San Antonio. The only one in the East is Philly. And so by this conversation that we're having right now, I almost would rather him go to Philly so that we get some balance.
Philly, Boston, Rockets, Warriors.
Yes.
But what about LeBron? I mean, if he goes to the Lakers now, the Lakers are going to be a superpower.
That's why the Lakers are out.
He's going to the Lakers.
I know he probably is.
He's
but
going to the Lakers.
For the purposes of this conversation,
he's
got to stay East, right? Because we got to have
in our made-up imaginary world.
Course.
He's not going to go there.
I mean, it's all made-up imaginary. It's all speculative.
It's fair.
I'm sure everybody on the phone has some speculation as well.
We're going to get these, I promise. Though I do want to add one thing, though. The term superpower, much like the word great, if you mm-hmm. watch this show, if you listen to Tiki and I for a long time, not many things get me worked up. I mean, I'll get excited. I'll get emotional. I love sports. I'm passionate. Hopefully you guys know that. And hopefully it comes across pretty naturally. But
Fan.
I am, man. Absolutely. I mean, I'm playing the NFL. That's for damn sure. But with these hamstrings and this Irish note behind, are you kidding me?
Skinny ankles and small ass.
Surgery Friday. We hope. Whatever.
Yeah,
don't get into that. So anyway.
I got to knock on something.
Knock on hard. So I look at the usage of the word great,
mm-hmm.
and it's so diluted.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a great player. Nah, he's merely very good.
Oh, I know. You challenge me every time I
slip
and say it.
I can't stand that. I challenge you. I challenge callers. It drives me nuts. Here's another word that I do believe is overused or misused.
Okay.
Super team. Superpower. You know, people throw that around way too liberally.
Yeah.
Like the Oklahoma City Thunder, if you really paid attention,
mm-mm.
you knew Carmelo was shot.
No, he wasn't
now,
a superstar.
We thought he might play marginally better than he did. He was awful. Nobody quite saw that. Maybe 10, 12, 15% better in terms of efficiency. He's not a third superstar.
No.
He's not.
No, not at this point in his career.
So if we say, based on your question, what Samter posed and what you just posed to me, if we could get to, you know, four theoretic powers, I would challenge that even as a possibility because I don't know if there are great players, enough great players available.
I hear you.
To weight it in a manner that actually applies, you know,
would
render that word successful.
Yeah.
Like superpowers.
There's not enough
legit.
Real greats to make teams real superpowers.
Yeah, I mean, I keep seeing these Paul George commercials drinking Gatorade. Playoff Paul. Dude, you get bounced the first round every year. Playoff Paul.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? All right, let's get to Ryan, who's in Pennsylvania. Ryan's first up on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Ryan? How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Okay,
good, man. What do you got for us?
What up?
So here's my scenario. I don't know how far out of bounds this is, but I say, you guys said Kyrie's in the driver's seat. What if Boston trades Kyrie this year?
Mm-hmm.
They bring in CP3 and LeBron. And they ended up trading Kyrie for Anthony Davis.
I mean, come on. I mean, all right, let me make sure we get this right here. Okay.
All right. By the way, Ryan, that would be a super team.
Who's their starting five? So they have CP3 at the point, right? Yep. They've got Tatum. They've got Jaylen Brown. They've got LeBron. And who's the fifth guy? Horford? Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. Yes.
They're going to go 81-1. Come on, man, Ryan. I mean, I appreciate the creativity.
They're going to have to give up their draft for like the next 3 years to do that. But hey, that would be a super team.
And they have been connected to Davis, you know, the Danny Ainge. And he's got the assets.
A year and a half or 2 years ago, they were talking about that.
And I'm not averse to trading Kyrie Irving. Don't get me wrong.
Not at all.
If the proper deal comes across my desk, I would certainly do it. But that's a lot of movement to make that happen.
They proved this year that they don't need him to go deep into the postseason.
That's true.
I mean.
That's very true.
Ryan,
but they're
going
to lose guys. They're going to lose Rozier.
Yeah.
Or Smart. They're going to lose Smart. They're going to lose some players. So.
Yeah, but if you bring in two. I'd have to go look at their cap situation. I mean, they're going to be
still
in the penalty.
Pretty good because Tatum and Brown are still getting paid.
Cheap labor.
Relatively.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Caleb, who's up in Michigan, and Caleb is on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. Caleb, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you guys doing?
Caleb,
good, man.
What part of Michigan, brother? Where you at?
We're right outside of Flint.
Okay, gotcha. Nice. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Absolutely. So, I wanted to talk to you guys about Kyrie and how he's in the driver's seat right now.
Okay.
I do think his health is a big factor.
Yep.
And I think Gordon Hayward is going to be something to look forward to as well.
Oh, Ryan didn't even mention Gordon Hayward.
I forgot about him. He's the seventh man on that scenario.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, he's the eighth man.
Yeah, right.
He's a role player.
Bench player.
Yeah, exactly.
He might not be active. He might be in a suit every night. Go ahead, Caleb.
We'll find out, that's for sure.
Yeah. Right?
What I'm thinking is that Kyrie, by taking a year before signing another contract, he gets to see where LeBron goes.
Yep.
Obviously, Brandon, Tiki, you guys were just talking about balance in the East and all that good stuff. If LeBron doesn't go to Philly, Kyrie might end up being the guy if Gordon Hayward doesn't come back to full strength. You know, he has that opportunity. When he won that first ring, he didn't get to be the guy. He was Robin to Batman, you know?
Yeah.
He was.
So if they get past the Eastern Conference Finals, even if they make the finals, they don't have to win the finals. All they have to do is make it. I think he'll be able to sign a big contract, assuming Kyrie makes an All-NBA team next year. I feel really confident in that.
So, yeah,
for the Supermax. Good call, Caleb.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
You know, Caleb, but the issue is, Caleb, and I just said this, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they played, and you got to believe that Tatum and Brown are only going to get better next year. They're going to expand their games a little bit. Who knows what happens with Rozier, you know, if he stays or not. But he crumbled in the moment. He's got to learn from that. I mean, in a way.
Also won him a game, though.
Oh,
I mean, he's got to shoot a little. Sure, I like him.
I mean,
I like him a lot.
Kyrie is kind of expendable. I can see the reasoning behind trading Kyrie if the Boston Celtics do want to create a non-organic super team. I had Sam look it up.
Davis.
They got a ton of cap space.
Oh, yeah, they're sitting, what are they, like 20th in the NBA?
No, it's like 100 and something, 107 or something this year. I mean, they have tons of space.
What are they on the books for next season? I don't have that.
That's what I mean.
For next season. They're on the books for about 107.
No. That's free because it's all.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
no, I hear you.
It's available if they want to do that. Now, the question is, does Danny Ainge want to do that? Or does he want to keep all his chips and keep building for the future?
Well, I mean, eventually, you got to leave the casino and
go home, man.
I mean, you
got
to cash out at some point. You can't take him to the cemetery with Danny.
I agree.
But hopefully, Danny's alive for 50 more years. But eventually, you got to utilize him.
I know.
It's going to be a fun summer,
I agree.
This is going to be hot. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212 42-27, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. More calls, Teak, 855-212-4227. As I said, a lot of afternoon baseball happening. Ack will get you up to speed on that. We got inbounds, out of bounds coming up after that. So inbounds, out of bounds, more calls, Ack's update. Here's Rich coming at you right now. All right, there you go, mixing up these sales. Oh, boy. Time to ask the pros here on Teak and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's how you do it. Just tweet us and use the handle at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Hashtag it up. Use the Ask the Pros hashtag. Make sure you listen later. Teak and I will answer the best ones. So make it count, make it stick out, and we'll get around to it, and we'll answer it for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Okay, 40 minutes past the hour. Good start to a Wednesday show. Lots to hit. Keep the tweets coming at Teak and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. If you want to get us individually, 855-212-4227. A lot of NBA. We'll get back to your calls as well. You want to inbounds, out of bounds. I want to make sure we get all these. So let's jump into it. Then we'll get the calls on the back end. I think there's a good list here.
There's some good ones. Some really good ones.
You ready to roll?
I love this first one.
This is a good one. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Kiki and Tierney.
All right, T, so you said you really liked this one.
Yeah,
don't disappoint. That was a good answer, man. No, you ready to roll?
Not in a good way.
Oh, okay. The Ravens drafted Lamar Jackson with the last pick of the first round, despite having Super Bowl 48 MVP Joe Flacco under contract. That runs through 2021. And are also trying two quarterback sets in minicamp. How about this?
This is a little unique. You know, you've got the ability to put two quarterbacks on the field at one time. So what options does it create for our offense? And that's what we tried to figure out. So he's back there throwing the ball. He's back there doing other things. Then Joe's got to be able to do some other things, too.
Okay, so that was Coach Harbaugh. So Ravens teammates, they kind of like what they see. Matter of fact, some are raving about it, specifically about Jackson, All-Pro linebacker C.J. Mosley. He's down.
Yeah, it's very creative. It's been giving us some problems on some of the plays. So
how tough is it to think, you know, Lamar?
He's just a natural runner. You know, once he gets out the pocket, it's like watching a young Michael Vick. So, I mean, it's amazing to watch. So when you're defending him, you just got to act like you're tagging off. You don't want to be on the highlight reel. But it's fun to watch him, man. He has a great long ball, too.
All right, so let's see what's up. Let's get the answers. In or out, the Ravens using a two-quarterback set with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson is in or out?
Out of bounds, man. This is so ridiculous. This reminds me of like the Wildcat thing that they experimented with a long time ago. And yeah, it was cool-ish, but then it became ineffective and just downright stupid. I understand that Lamar Jackson can be on the field and do other things. If Lamar Jackson is now throwing the ball, as John Harbaugh just said, what the hell is Joe Flacco doing?
He ain't running.
He ain't doing nothing.
That's for sure.
He's just standing out there being a decoy. He's more likely someone's going to come and drill him under his chin because he's a position player now, and you're going to lose him, even though that might be the point to get Lamar Jackson actually as your starting quarterback.
Ooh.
But I mean, this is smoke and mirrors to me. Uh-huh. I understand that he looks like a young Michael Vick. He might not have understood what C.J. Mosley was saying. Lamar Jackson, he is that, but this is out of bounds. Come on. What are you it's not college.
Listen, I'm with you. It's too gimmicky. It's a you want to bust out a little bit of a trinket like the Dolphins did back in the day or the Jets did with Brad Smith. You know, I don't know that you want to do it with your first-round pick.
I agree.
And by the way,
are you going to have a running back?
I don't get it. The disparity in athleticism between Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco is just, it's laughable. So you can, it's very easy to counteract that, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
If Lamar Jackson looks that amazing as per C.J. Mosley, then put him out there every snap.
I agree.
It's going to be a slow transition to that eventually. But even if they stuck with this, I don't like it for a multitude of reasons, many of the reasons in which the Tiki hit. But also, there's no rhythm. And once you give a coordinator, you know, one or two series or game for sure on film where tendencies can be uncovered, it's over.
Agreed.
Just like the RPO is kind of diminished, and just like the Wildcat, which we referenced, same page, out of bounds. It might be fun in minicamp, and you might call up the Baltimore stations and say,
yeah,
hey, this is interesting.
It's great
to work.
Great with underwear on.
Yeah. Not going to work with pants.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, how about this? NFL.com, Teak, ranks the 11 best players for each of the 32 teams, and we've done this a little bit here and there throughout the last couple of days. And they released their NFC North picks yesterday with some controversy here. Mm-hmm. Now, the voters, you ready for this? The voters, they ranked Aaron Rodgers as the best Packer ever.
Come on.
That's what they said. Oh, now, coaches are not part of it. So Lombardi, obviously, it's just player specific. They're on the list. They do identify the best coach, but it's after the top players at the top 10. So he's higher than Brett Favre. He's higher than Bart Starr. Any Packer is higher than them all. Now, Favre won three straight MVPs. He's got the Super Bowl, same as Aaron Rodgers won. And he retired as the NFL's all-time leading passer in both yards and touchdowns. Starr, five NFL championships, the first two Super Bowls ever, while A-Rod has two MVPs and one Super Bowl title. All right, interesting stuff. In or out, Rodgers is the greatest Packer of all time.
This is out of bounds, man. I get what they're trying to do here. They're trying to make Aaron Rodgers be the guy because you're projecting forward. And eventually, at 38,000 yards, maybe he'll catch up to Brett Favre, but unlikely that he's going to get the 71,000, almost 72,000 yards that Brett Favre had, and years of exciting, awesome play. Aaron Rodgers has been banged up a couple times in his career. Brett Favre never left the field, which led to his opioid issue, but it's a different story. Brett Favre is the best Packer of all time. There's no doubt about it. He's an icon, and he revolutionized how the quarterback position is played.
Uh-huh.
Definitely out of bounds.
Wow. I totally disagree with
you here.
Come on,
man.
I don't want to say that I ignore the sheer volume of stats because obviously it's an important thing. But I don't, and I'm not saying that you do this, but I don't just look at somebody and say, you know, whether it's home runs or total points or touchdown passes or total yards, whatever it might be, whatever the metric is. I don't just lean on that and say player X has more than player. And again, I know you're not doing that. I don't say player X has more than player Y. That's why he's better. I have said since as long as I've worked with Tiki that Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Montana wasn't big, wasn't necessarily fast, didn't have a rocket.
No.
Tom Brady couldn't run. Peyton couldn't run.
Yep.
John Elway actually had almost everything, but he threw a lot of picks.
Yep.
You know, certainly early. Aaron Rodgers encompasses the brains, the wheels, the rocket, everything. So if I believe Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time, then how could I not say he's the best Packer of all time? He's more talented than Brett Favre.
I got a little something right here for you. Throw this out on the table.
What is that?
Talk to some of his former teammates. They don't all love him.
I understand that.
They all love Brett.
I'll tell you what,
Green Bay loved Brett. They hated him when he left, but they love him now.
Well, they still follow Aaron Rodgers enough. I mean, they follow him when Brett Hundley plays,
great.
They didn't win.
It's because he's great.
Exactly.
Not as great as Brett.
Let me ask you this. You start a team tomorrow, all things considered. Mm-hmm. You start a team tomorrow. You're the GM. Your livelihood depends on it. You going with Aaron Rodgers or Brett
probably
Favre?
Taking Aaron Rodgers, but Brett Favre was damn entertaining.
I'm not saying he wasn't. That's not the question, though.
Stop peppering me. Go to the next one.
Next question. Here we go.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, I should have been a lawyer. Bryce Harper's made the playoffs 4 of his 6 years in Washington, but a little paltry career average, 211 in October. Never won a series either, as we know. Now, earlier this week, an unnamed executive, wuss, called him, quote, a losing player. Put your name on it.
I hate anonymous quotes.
I know you do. And now, Mets GM Mike Rizzo fired back saying, quote, he's won more games since he's been called up to the big leagues than any player in the majors. How's that for a loser?
Yeah.
These anonymous quotes from these unnamed sources, this is still Rizzo speaking, it's cowardly, it's chicken belief, and it's gutless. Attaboy, Rizzo. Defend your man. You just try to beg him to stay.
Exactly.
In or out, Harper's worth a $400 million deal that I told you he would get 5 years ago that he's expected to command in free agency this offseason.
Yeah,
in or out.
This is in bounds. Bryce Harper is a great player. He's a great competitor, more importantly. And as Rizzo, his skip
was
saying, Mike Rizzo was saying, he makes any team that he's on better. Now, the postseason, he's still got some demons to work out, but a lot of that is not all him. You know, sometimes guys falter at this point in the season, and some of the greats have. We talked about it yesterday. A-Rod,
Barry Bonds struggled for long. Exactly. Dave Winfield back in 81 with the Yankees.
Clayton Kershaw has been that way a little bit.
Great call.
He's definitely worth it, especially because the value of superstars in MLB has never been more at a premium. The reason that the league is so, I think, falling behind, we'll have this conversation later, is because they don't celebrate guys like this enough. They do a lot, but not even enough.
Okay, okay. I'm going to say inbounds as well here. I think one of the problems with big contracts, specifically in basketball, in baseball, is that too often you're paying for 2 or 3 years of past performance. Look at Robinson Cano and them. Forget about the steroids. Just look at the contract that he got from the Mariners. Ten years, right?
Miguel Cabrera, which may come up next.
We'll get to Miggy. But when you do that at that age, you know, it's even Sabathia, who's still grinding out, was great last night against the Nats.
Yeah,
you know, I know he's your boy, and I love CeCe as well, and he's been a great champion. He's probably a Hall of Famer. But, you know, the Yankees probably paid for a little bit of what he did with the Indians and certainly more recently the Brewers. It is what it is. But the difference with Bryce Harper, he's so young. You're not really paying for past performance. It's not like Miguel Cabrera when he was over with the Tigers after that trade. So, you know, he is a little overrated because he's not a high average guy. And there's a cycle of peak performance, drop off. Mm-hmm. Peak performance, drop off. That's his career chart. And it's a little confounding, but he's got passion. He hits bombs. He's got an arm. He's good wheels. And he loves baseball, and he's marketable inbounds. I got no problem with $400 million for Bryce Harper. He'll get it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, let's get to Mickey. Future Hall of Famer Miguel Cabrera is going to miss the rest of the season. Did you see this?
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed
swing.
Like
it was weird.
It seemed like I thought it was fairly innocuous.
Yeah,
it wasn't like
too.
He was fooled.
No.
Or I don't know if we have it for the TV, but it was not a real aggressive swing. He ruptured his left biceps tendon. 35 years old. Here it is. Great job, as always. I knew they would have it because they're the best. 35 years old, two-time MVP, former Triple Crown winner, and he's hitting just .249 this year. And you knew it. Look, I mean, he's just basically not limping off the field, but, man, he is really hurt.
Clearly in pain.
Last year, .249 last year. Pardon me. Good catch on that, Santos. 16 home runs. He's still under contract 5 more years, and they owe him $174 million.
Wow.
Oof. In or out, Cabrera and his 8-year, $248 million deal in totality is the worst contract in sports history.
I'm going to say out of bounds because there are some outliers. Bobby Bonilla, who is still making $1.193 million every year until, wait for it, 2035.
Hey, 2035.
I think the most egregious one is Albert Haynesworth, who signed a 7-year, $100 million deal with the Washington Redskins and played exactly 20 games. That one's the worst.
That's a brutal one.
Terrible. So Mickey has been he's an all-time great in Detroit. Hall of Famer, as BT mentioned.
One of the best righty hitters I've ever
seen.
No
doubt. And the year he signed this deal in 2016, he had 38 bombs.
He delivered,
man. 316.
He delivered.
And he got a little bit old.
Yeah.
He's got to reset. Maybe he's going to be serviceable for the next couple of years, but this is by far not the worst.
I agree with you. I really do. Plus, as we see in baseball, there's ways where the Yankees did this with A-Rod, and it's happened across the board where you can make a move, and while you won't unload the entire contract, you can get a team to maybe take 15, 20% of it and find a way to make it work there. There's always a middle ground with baseball contracts. My answer, though, this is going to probably come out of left field. I swear to God, this individual drove me nuts. Not even a player.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson with the Knicks. And
that's
it wasn't even
point.
That it was.
I didn't even think about that. It is sports history.
I went to the executive aspect, right? And I thought about a lot of the names you threw out there as well. Good job running down Haynesworth and some of the others. But 5 years, $60 million, I almost got the impression that he actually was trying to ruin the Knicks. Like, he would wake up after he did 3 bong hits, which I'm sure he did. He would actually try to construct the plan that would make the Knicks as non-competitive as possible. Some of the things he did, I mean, Joakim Noah, he gave him $20, $30 million, whatever the hell he gave him. It's ridiculous. Phil Jackson, stay in Montana. Stay in the woods.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Now, we had another one here. Tiki didn't get to it, but Nebraska head coach Scotty Frost, a pretty loyal guy, wanted to take his entire UCF staff to Lincoln. I guess that when he was offered the Gators job, he turned it down because they would not let him take the entire staff with him.
Yeah, the question.
Pretty loyal guy.
Yeah, it was. And the question was, turning down the job was a mistake, and he'll regret it. I said out of bounds.
I said the same thing.
He's loyal. We love Scott. He was, you know, we played here in New York. He played down in Tampa where he picked up his coaching bug. And he's great. He's fantastic. He does things the right way. So being loyal to the guys that got him where he is, because he was a player, man. He had to learn how to be a coach. And a lot of that comes with the staff that you have around you. I love that.
I do too. And listen, at Nebraska, you know,
I mean, Nebraska's fallen off.
Oh, they've been horrible.
There's not a lot of in-state speed, which is problematic.
But a couple of the kids who we recruited to UCF came with them.
But are they good enough to play and make a difference in the Big Ten?
I don't know, but it just proves how loyal some of these kids, how good of a recruiter he is.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that translates.
Now, you and I both lauded the hire. We loved it. That was a great move for Nebraska. All right, well, I think we need to circle back to that Rodgers-Brett Favre, even Bart Starr conversation/debate. More calls coming up as well. TK and Tierney.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.